I'd like you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes the beginning of the week, it's always nice as a pastor to be able to have a series of messages because you know what you're preaching on the next week. When you don't have a series and, you know, the missions meeting is coming up, it's like at the beginning of the week, the conversation goes something like this: Lord, what would you like me to preach on this week? Silence. Later, Lord, please. What would you like me to preach on this week? And all I had was faith. But living faith. Because a saving faith is a living faith. It is for today as well as for eternity. Faith covers it all. It's my relationship with God. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith, so important to have faith. Where is your faith today on a scale from 1 to 10? How would you rate your faith? Well, it's something that happened to me in the past. It's something that is happening to me in the present, and it's something that will happen to me in the future. I was saved. And that happened in my life a little bit more than 50 years ago. When the Lord touched my heart, gave me faith to believe, I still don't understand it. The Bible says it's a gift from God. But I have it. I am saved in the present time. I know that the Lord has worked in me and He has continued to work in me over the last 50 plus years. And I will be saved in the future. One preacher put it this way. I heard it from Lehman Strauss. I don't know who he heard it from. But he said, I am saved from the penalty of sin. Jesus took the penalty, my penalty, on the cross at Calvary. He saved me. That's past. That's over with. It's done. I am being saved from the power of sin as I continue to live the life of faith. He's still working on me. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the living and written word, I am being saved from the power of sin. I still struggle with sin in my life. We all do. We're not what we should be, but thank God we aren't what we were in the past. God's working in our lives. Sometimes the evidence of that is so slow that we don't necessarily see it. It doesn't happen all at once. And our growth is like the growth of a child. If you're with that child every day, you don't see that growth. Someone who doesn't see them every day sees them and says, my, how you've grown. I say, really? And that's the way it should be with us spiritually. We don't notice it. But people who haven't seen us in a while should say, my, how you've grown. And then I will, of course, be saved from the very presence of sin because there's no sin in heaven. We should all be looking forward to that time when we'll be with Jesus. And we'll be like Him, the Bible says, for we shall see Him as He is. So is that element of faith in our lives. I am saved from the penalty of sin. I am being saved from the power of sin. And I will be saved in the future from the presence of sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. God accepts us just as I am, we sing, just as I am. I just come. I don't have to try to be good enough to come. I just come, and He saves me. Faith is a gift from God. It's not of works. We have nothing to boast about in this faith that we have. It's a gift from God. But the second pillar is seen in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 24. We know that faith is a gift from God, but we know that faith works in our lives. It transforms us. It makes us different from what we were before. What good is it, James writes, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Why? Because faith works. Faith transforms our lives. I recently read, water cannot flow higher than its source. The source of a river or fountain is the highest geographical elevation. As gravity applies itself, the water flows from its highest elevation to its lowest. The Mississippi River is the longest and largest river in North America. Its source is Lake Itasca in the Minnesota North Woods. So from now on, I'm just going to say the Minnesota North Woods. It's a lake up there somewhere. It flows through the mid-continental United States, the Gulf of Mexico, coastal plain, and its subtropical Louisiana Delta. It's all downhill from the North Woods of Minnesota. It's the same with our Hudson River. As I read that quote, I was thinking of the Hudson River as it begins up in the Adirondacks, Lake Tear of the Clouds, and flows down through Rensselaer County and down past New York City. It's amazing when you drive up north and see the little stream that flows out of Lake Tear of the Clouds. I've seen Lake Tear of the Clouds. I've seen the northern Hudson River and the Mississippi River. I've actually tubed down the Mississippi River. Both start off small and then become great rivers that transport people and great ships. But they don't start off that way. They start off high in the mountains and in the deep woods. And that's where our faith begins, in the quietness of the deep woods and the rugged terrain of the mountains. In the quiet presence of God, unseen by the masses. If you think about Lake Tear of the Clouds and that little stream that flows out of that lake, not too many people see it. I don't know if I'll ever see it again, but I'll certainly see the Hudson River again, and may even see the Mississippi River again, because millions of people see those rivers every day. But there are days on end, perhaps, that people don't see that lake in the North Woods of Minnesota, or that little lake on the side of Mount Marcy. But that's where faith begins, in the quiet presence of God. Our faith can never rise higher than its source. Our faith grows when we go through struggles of this life. As we live in faith, believing that God indeed is able to work together all things for the good of those who believe. Consider the people of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. I think you'll find that each one of these people went through deep woods or rough terrain on the mountains. And in the midst of the difficult situations, no one would want to trade places with them. We held this chapter as the Hall of Faith. A play on words, a hall of fame, a hall of faith. But what did it take to get there? How did these people become the great examples of faith that God would highlight in His Word? When did faith become important to Abel, the first one listed? Certainly his brother didn't have the same faith. Cain thought God should be pleased with anything he offered, not Abel. Somewhere along the line, Abel took to heart the counsel of God. Maybe from his parents, as they told the story of the first sin and the sacrifice God made for them. For whatever reason, the stream of faith started in the heart of Abel and ended in his death for the glory of God. When did faith become important to Enoch? When he was out on his daily walk with God. The importance of the presence. Sometimes you don't have to say a word. Job's comforters could have learned a lot from Enoch. Just walk with God. Listen to his still small voice. As Enoch walked with God, the small stream of faith began to build until he rose on that river into the very presence of God in heaven. How about Noah? For 140 years, Noah worked on that ark. We want everything yesterday. Noah had great patience as he worked day by day on that huge ark. 140 years! Noah believed the warning of God and the promises of God. Where did it all start for Noah? It started in simple obedience and a righteousness that helped him stand out in the midst of a perverse generation whose minds were continually set on evil. And then there was Abraham. The command and the promise came to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Leave your father's house. Go to a land that I will show you. I doubt it was the first time God had spoken to Abraham. I'm sure there must have been a prior relationship. Up in the mountains, deep in the woods, the gift of faith began in the heart of this patriarch, who would be the greatest example of faith we have in the Bible. Step by step, we see that faith of Abraham grow. First leaving his father's home and everything that was near and dear to him, to go to an unknown place until at last we see him at the pinnacle of Mount Moriah with a knife raised above his son, ready to sacrifice him to his God. What great faith! And here in Hebrews 11 we find out what only God knew way back then. Abraham had faith in the resurrection. He had seen God give him this miraculous son, Isaac, his only son. Isaac, the son of Sarah. Isaac, the son of laughter. Isaac, the son of joy. Not Ishmael, the son of the flesh, but Isaac, the son of promise. And now he was going to sacrifice Isaac. How could he do that? He had been into the deepest woods before. He had been to the mountaintops before. The stream of faith was running deep and wide in Abraham. It was a fountain, a river that would now take him wherever God wanted him to go. And the list in Hebrews 11 goes on and on. He says, what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the grounds. If you were to ask them, where did your faith start? They would tell you it was not in the easy days. The stream of faith started in the deep woods. It started in the heights of the mountains. It started during the difficult days that I had to go through. It started in the den of lions and the fury of flames, at the edge of a sword in weakness, in battle, in the storms of life, in death, in torture, in jeers and floggings, chains and imprisonment, in stoning, in destitution, persecution, and mistreatment, wandering in deserts and in the mountains, in caves and holes in the ground. Their streams began with the gift of faith in their hearts, grew as they spent time with God in heeding His voice and obeying His commands. This was not the case for everyone in Scripture. God gives us a choice to follow Him. Think of the evidence in His Word. Consider the example of Jeroboam. We don't find him in the pages of Hebrews chapter 11. God's promise came to him in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 38. If you do whatever I command you and walk in obedience to me, and do what is right in my eyes by obeying my decrees and commands as David my servant did, I will be with you. I will build you a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David and will give Israel to you. But he didn't follow after the Lord. We read this in 1 Kings chapter 12. Jeroboam thought to himself, the kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to the Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam. After seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Jeroboam had no faith in the promises of God. Instead, he fabricated golden gods for the people of Israel and became an example for the bad kings of Israel. As you read through the rest of 1 and 2 Kings, as you come to a bad king, they would equate him to Jeroboam. When you came to a good king, they would equate him to King David. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2 say, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Their faith resulted in actions. Faith was given to them by God, but it was a faith that worked. It was a combination of Ephesians chapter 2 and James chapter 2. That faith worked in their lives. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So we want faith. But do we want to go where faith begins? It isn't easy to hike into the deep woods, to the source of the Mississippi River. It isn't easy to hike to the slopes of Mount Marcy to reach Lake Tear of the Clouds, the source of the Hudson River. But if we want that deep fellowship with God that brings us to a faith that is heroic in nature, a faith that will end us in the hall of faith, a faith that will conquer all the persecutions and the ailments in this life, we need to seek the presence of God. Job is an example for us. Job never knew the contest between God and Satan. But in the end, His faith was stronger, and his life was richer for all that he had to endure. When people were telling him to curse God and die or to condemn himself, inside his faith was gathering the force because he had spent time in the deep woods and the mountaintops with God. And because he had spent time with God, he was able to endure anything Satan could throw at him. How is your faith today? You might be sitting here thinking, Pastor, my faith is at 1 on a scale of 1 to 10. But thank God it can start as a trickle. It can start as a spring in the deep woods or on a mountaintop. And from there it can grow from a 1 to a 2. And from a 2 to a 3. And as we go through the circumstances in this life, it can continue to grow until it's a mighty river like the Hudson or the Mississippi rivers. And it can be a blessing to yourself and to all of the people around you, family, friends, and even strangers can be blessed by those rivers that flow from the faith in our lives. Do you want it to grow? Do you trust the promises of God? And are you obedient to what He has called you to in your life? Father, whatever you have for me, we should pray. I will seek to grow. I will seek for a deeper and a richer faith. I will desire to be the man or woman you want me to be. I will honor you with my life and my faith. Make that commitment today to grow in Christ, to grow in faith, and to become the person that God wants you to be. It's never too late to begin that walk of faith with God.